Chapter 2. He'd really been a top-notch player. Hardly seemed fair, with all the other gifts nature had piled upon him. But there it was. He'd played for relaxation at our local amateurs club. And in between tournaments there, he'd used me for practice, a handy foil to his thrusting, merciless game. I'd been clueless at first, the kind of savage who'd pillaged the pieces for drafts in childhood bouts with Andrew. Patiently, over the first few years of our marriage, he'd taught me not just moves and techniques, but whole strategies, from opening pawn to mate. To my surprise, I'd adored it. At first, it had just been the novel sensation of his whole attention upon me as he shared his wisdom. And then I'd gotten into the game for its own sake. He'd inevitably beat me. But over time, I learned to stave off his victories for longer and longer. And even in our last few months, when everything we'd meant to each other turned sour and began to circle the drain, while I'd struggled to make myself right for a man who didn't want a man anymore, who wanted a woman and another crack at life, we could still come together for a match. We both could be quiet for a while, our tensions and hostilities threading out harmlessly across the board. Of course I could have pursued it after he'd left. I could have played it with my damn laptop, if I'd really wanted to carry on. But I'd relegated chess, along with music, socialising, dinners and restaurants and general fun, to the marital part of my existence. Andrew was right. Jess and I had tried hard. Life with Melchior, the first 19 years of it anyway, had been no effort at all. We'd been lovers and friends. I didn't understand my fear of the divorce papers, which now had indeed arrived in hard copy and remained unopened in my desk at home. He wouldn't be planning to hurt me or ruin me financially. Already he'd divided the proceeds from the sale of our Hampstead house and deposited an exact half into my account, even though he'd earned so much more than I had recently. That was his acknowledgement of all the years before, when I'd supported his studies and his practice. He wasn't about to make trouble. Like any man with a baby on the way, he'd just want to tie up loose ends, to be free to get married to Sabrina. She must be just about ready to pop. I was screwing up her life. Not just Melchior's and mine. I had to pull my finger out. This decision buoyed me up for a few hours while I packed for a 3-day trade convention in Edgware. Andrew, up to his hips in the DigiRev deal, had begged me to go in his place. I'd have plenty of time, in my hotel room in the evenings, to read and sign off on whatever paperwork was needed to cut the ties. Heading out through the door, it struck me that a hotel stay was hardly necessary. Expensive, too, on the company dollar. I could easily have made the commute, living as I was in Andrew's spare room in Mitcham. Well, that was my answer right there. Poor Vicky, stuck with a shipwrecked brother-in-law for more than a year now. Probably worth the hotel bill to Andrew to have me out of the house for a few days. Then, neither of them had ever for one moment been anything other than kind. Maybe Drew just thought the change of scene would do me good.